Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:07 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time, and today is February 6th. David sent me an email and asked me to relay to subscribers that he is currently at in Chelsea and Westminster Hospital being assessed for some heart-related symptoms. And I will keep you updated with news as I receive it, but he doesn't anticipate being back in the office for at least the next few days. Please be encouraged by the fact that he has sent me the email himself, so that is certainly something to be heartened by. Today I wanted to kick off the audio by looking at France. This was a big weekend for Europe, and there were two reasons for that. One was Marine Le Pen has announced her platform of for what she wants to run on her presidential bid on. And the primary one is that she wants to leave the euro. So that has had a direct impact on the French government bond spreads. Fillon has also said that he wants to remain in the race and that he anticipates winning. That is going to be fodder for Le Pen's candidacy, considering that he is representative of just about everything that is wrong with the establishment in France. There is no poll says that she's going to win, and isn't that so familiar at this stage that voters obviously do not want to say that they're willing to vote for the National Front in much the same way, and perhaps it is even an even more emotive subject in France because of the National Front's historic policies. But nobody wanted to say that they would vote for Trump, and yet he won. Nobody wanted to say that they would vote for Brexit, and yet he won. And government bond yields widening out would suggest that that is what bond investors are willing to price in at this stage, because it is easy to be dismissive of a 60 basis point move. But this is completely out of character with anything that we've seen in the French government bond market since 2011, which represented the peak of the sovereign debt crisis in Europe. What is also very clear from this long-term chart of French government bond spreads is just how inert the market was from 1998 onwards. It was the very tight spreads between France and German bonds from the middle of the 90s onwards. That represented the foundation for the euro, that Paris-German axis. And it is quite different in the decade following 2008 relative to the decade before it. We are in a very different environment now. The bond market is testing the resolve of the euro. It is testing the resolve of governments, and most particularly of the European sovereign project. Mario Draghi gave another robust defense of the euro today and appealed to the treaties. The problem with that type of defense is nobody cares about the treaties any longer. There are increasing arguments to try and renegotiate the treaties, and it isn't just the UK that wants to renegotiate treaties. There is very widespread dissatisfaction with the fiscal austerity that has been imposed over the last decade. The only way I can envisage the euro and the EU staying together is to abandon the fiscal austerity regime. And that is going to represent a massive policy conundrum for Germany. Obviously, it wouldn't be as near a problem for France, considering how many of the candidates are willing to countenance it. And there is a very clear requirement for fiscal stimulus in Europe, considering how many people are unemployed, and not least how many young people are unemployed, despite the fact that they, and thankfully that the region does not have large numbers of young people, because large numbers of young people and massive austerity is generally a recipe for revolution. And what we have seen in the UK and in the US, and now potentially in France, is not a revolution of young people, but a revolution of older people. That is the very clear risk. and the European stock market was in negative territory today, but not really in a dynamic fashion. And that is perhaps worth looking at before we look at geopolitical risk. The Eurostoxx index was in negative territory, but it is a bit overbought relative to the trend mean. It has now rolled over, so the potential for a reversion back towards the mean is looking more likely than not. It would really require a sustained move below the trend mean to question that this isn't a new demand-dominated environment. Neither do we see a great deal of risk being expressed in the euro. Euro dollar was in mildly negative territory today, but it was well off its low, and the euro continues to hold this progression of higher reaction lows since the middle of December. Despite the questions that continue to be raised about Europe, President Trump does not want a strong currency, and the dollar has been going down for much of the last 6 weeks. And this is a key moment for the euro. There is a clear progression of lower rally highs. It has failed every time it has come up to these levels, and it would, if it sustains a move above 108, then that is going to raise questions about the medium-term bull market hypothesis for the dollar. I don't think it's going to answer a lot of questions about the medium-term bearish hypothesis for the euro, though. When we look at the other potential risk in Europe, it's in the banks. The European banking sector was the leading decliner today. And UniCredito is where the risk is. They announced a large new capital raising, and you have this big step in the chart, and that's reflective of how much money they had to raise. UniCredito has been able to go to the market and successfully avoid government intervention for the last 7 or 8 years. But the question is whether that will be able to be continued. Monte Paschi di Siena was pushed into the, well, I think that's not nearly accurate enough. Monte Paschi had no choice but to go into the bank resolution framework. The equity holders were wiped out. The non-senior derivative holders, bond holders, were saved, not least because there were so many of them were retail investors. But then the question is, if UniCredito, which is one of Italy's largest banks, fails to be able to continue to raise money in the markets, then would that also see stock holders being wiped out? So that is having a negative effect on the entire Italian banking sector, and it throws into further contrast the just how clearly wrong or the decision to adopt fiscal austerity was against a background that which was already sharply deflationary. And we do have a measure of geopolitical risk. This is the global political risk index, and it goes back to 1997, so it's at a new all-time high. It's at a new all-time high because of the uncertainty with regard to the Trump presidency, with regard to Brexit, the French, German, and Dutch elections, the protests in Romania, the potential for another election in Italy, the Iranian missile tests, the Chinese brinksmanship in the South China Sea. All of that is combining to create a more pronounced geopolitical environment. We're not seeing a lot of that being priced into stock markets, but we are seeing evidence of it being priced into the gold market. Gold prices broke up out of this short-term range today. They are now trading right in the region of the trend mean. When we look at it over the last 5 years, then we can see that the big thing that happened was at the beginning of 2016, we had a very clear break in a lengthy progression of lower rally highs. And now we are getting this right-hand extension ranging phase following that big type 2 bottom. We will not have absolute confirmation that this is a new bull market for gold, or at least a a medium-term bull market for gold until it is trading back above $1,400. There is a likelihood that we could have a very, very lengthy range between $1,000 and $2,000 for the next number of decades. That is obviously quite a bullish scenario in the short term, considering how close we are to the lower side of that range, and gold is now right in the region of its moving average. But Hybita Gold and the gold shares right now offer some of the highest beta plays on gold, and that is something we haven't been able to say for over a decade. But the GDX ETF is pulling away from the trend mean. Platinum is trading back above the psychological 1000 level. Silver is also, it has quite clearly broken a progression of lower rally highs and is trading back above its trend mean. And all of these are considered high beta gold. So if platinum, silver, and gold shares are doing better, well, then that is quite positive. That would suggest that we are going to get a sustained breakout in gold prices. And that it should be quite positive. And considering that it isn't just happening in dollar terms, that's gold in pounds is pushing back up towards that psychological 1000 level. In euro, it is has already broken out and is pushing the 1150 euro level. And in Australian dollars, it is also pushing the upper side of its range. And as a major producer of gold, and we can see that gold prices in Australian dollars have been really quite firm, and not least because there was such a decline in the Australian dollar that coincided with the decline in gold. And there is a progression of higher reaction lows despite some really quite pronounced volatility since 2014. So the ability of gold to firm up from this level and to hold that choppy uptrend, this is the do or die moment for gold in Australian dollars. The Chinese market was also open for the first time in a week today, and it was in positive territory. They don't want to see the kind of volatility that they had in 2015 again, so they are supporting the stock market, but only incrementally to ensure that prices go up, but not in a volatile manner. The commodity complex is continuing to benefit both from the relative weakness of the dollar, but also because economic growth is improving. That German factory orders are improving, Chinese economic activity is better. European economic activity generally has been better, despite the fact that you still have these questions about the political environment and the banking environment, and that then, and I think that Europe is the missing ingredient. That we have gone through a period of synchronized global economic expansion to global monetary expansion, and we could very well have a movement into a period of global fiscal, synchronized fiscal expansion, and that would be good for just about all stock markets. And against that background, I think it is worth just keeping a quick eye on the Nasdaq, because it was at it was one of the few markets that was in positive territory today. It is a bit overbought in the short term. There is no evidence that it's not going to get more overbought. Perhaps the most important thing is that it went sideways for a year and a half. It had a very orderly consolidation above that range, and now it is pulling away from that range. This is a resumption of a medium-term bull market environment. There is no evidence of type 1, type 2, or type 3 trend ending characteristics here. And a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to really question the medium-term bull market environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.